And I think it's recording now. Let me just pause and start again. Yes, okay, so I think we're good to go now. So welcome back, everybody, and thank you for your patience in that little adventure of Zoom not letting me record. Let me just close my door here. So I asked you to, while we were waiting, to gather up some questions, whatever questions you might have, and then take a look at the article on Nadi Shodhana. So were you able to do either of those while we were working on the tech stuff? Fantastic. So let's take just, let's take, you know, 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning of our block here to address whatever questions you might have. Who would like to begin? Lots has been moving during the day. This is maybe there's questions that really needed to be addressed, because I was just going to go dive right in, but let's make a space for questions. Yeah, Mary Kay, thanks.
What would be like a couple of first steps to rest in every moment?
That's a great question. I love that question. To me, it comes back to the breath. It always comes back to the breath. When I can be consciously breathing, it brings me back to that present moment and helps me let go of those old stories, whatever I am attached to. So if something's going on, so my daughter's been having a challenging day today. She's, you know, home for reading week. So I've seen her not too much, but a couple of times. And I'm doing my best in a couple of moments to help her. But mostly I need to be here with you, just like you guys, right? So if she's not doing well, I just need to have a breath. Take a breath. Regather, recenter. And connect. And there are other kinds of, you know, tools and tips, but I think everything comes back to the breath, and it's really appropriate too, because we're going to be doing a little bit of breath work today that we'll see what you guys think about last year. It was so powerful that people started, you know, teaching their clients it and using it in all kinds of situations. It was just a brief foray into breath work, but a lot moving. So I think I'll leave the answer at that, breath. I mean, I could give it a day-long answer, but breath. Yeah. Other questions? And just another comment about the breath, too. So a reminder of where we've been today. So slicing and dicing it in a slightly different way, there are 8 limbs of yoga. Remember Ashtanga yoga, 8 limbs? The others of meditation, concentration, samadhi, you know, enlightenment, and so on, withdrawal of the senses. But those first 4 are really foundational. And we now know them in order, the yamas, the niyamas, the asanas, that's the postures, and then breath work. So today, what we've focused on is the 4 of the 8 limbs and the ones that are the most accessible to us. It starts getting like more and more refined, and those others are built on what we're doing here first. So it's been a day to learn what those foundational building blocks of yoga are from the Yoga Sutras, right? So we're moving on into breath work. Any other questions? Anything else that you want to ask? Okay, let's move then into, and sometimes there may not be a bunch of questions bubbling up in you. This part, I was not going to open it to questions until our tech glitch came up. Because sometimes, again, the vibration of the question is not the same as the vibration of the answer. And we're finding a lot of solutions. We're finding a lot of ease. We're finding a lot of clarity and focus. And so it may not be that many questions are arising right now, and that's perfectly okay. It can be just in that space of knowing and answers and one-pointedness and focus. And if your mind is different from that, that's okay too. Did you get a chance to look at the article? Did you get any chance to take a look at it? All right. Rather than talking to you about it, I want to hear from you about it. What got you interested or excited? What did you notice as you were reading through about Nadi Shodhana, which is one kind of breath work that's usually taught much later in Iyengar yoga. It is considered to be an advanced practice, like a more advanced practice, but I was taught it quite early on and I found it so helpful. I wanted to share it with you. So what did you notice in the article? Yeah, Yvonne.
Can you hear me good?
Yes, yeah, perfect.
Okay. What really piqued my interest was calming my mind before I go into meditation.
Yes.
Because I do notice, because I have been, you know, doing meditation more. And what I sometimes notice is that franticness.
Yeah.
You know, my mind racing and just really hard time getting my mind to shut down or calm down. And so to use that technique, you know, before I actually go into the meditation, I definitely want to, you know, try that out.
Yes. And in some systems of thought, all of yoga, the postures are designed to prepare us for the breath work, and then the breath work prepares us for the meditation, right? And so you're doing like the yogis teach us. And then the more we engage in these practices, as my mind becomes more and more still in the meditation, not that it has to be that way, but as a general trend, it has a ripple effect in my company. It has a ripple effect in my life. So that's a great way to use it. Let's hear one more. What did you notice as you read through the article, Mary Kay?
Well, I was excited because I've tried that type of breathing. I mean, I've done it with my yoga teacher locally because I'd asked her, I'd gotten interested in breathing, and I got a book on, like, I don't know, 21 different types of breathing that was just fascinating. And so she started taking me through a lot of them. So I'm excited. Yes.
Awesome. And Nadi Shodhana, if I have a lot going on, if my mind's really busy, if I'm anxious about something, if anything like that's going on, that's the kind of breath work that I most commonly turn to. There's many different forms. You mentioned a number of them, right? Like 20 different kinds. That and the basic breath work, that's probably what I turn to the most. And my mind gets clearer, I can think better, all that stuff slows down. So for those who might not have access to the article at hand, I've posted it in the Love Your Words Facebook forum, but I just want to, for those who might be listening afterwards to the recording, you can go and find it, go search for it in Love Your Words Facebook forum, but maybe you're listening to it later and you're going, what was that again? The article is from the Chopra Center, it's called Nadi Shodhana, how to practice alternate nostril breathing. So you can search it up online. And then the benefits of alternate nostril breathing. I just want to ground us in this before we go and do the practice. So here's what they say. With just a few minutes of alternate nostril breathing, you can restore balance and ease in the mind and body. Sometimes when we feel frazzled or find ourselves doing too many things at once, it's because energetically we are out of alignment. Remember, we're dispersing our energy, no brahmacharya, it's like scattered everywhere. This breath is great for restoring that necessary balance. In addition to calming the mind and reversing stress, alternate nostril breathing also improves our ability to focus the mind. These things that we've been talking about through the day, right? The focus, the clarity, the balance, the alignment. So it improves our ability to focus the mind, supports our lungs and respiratory functions, restores balance in the left and right hemispheres of the brain, and clears the energetic channels, rejuvenates the nervous system, removes toxins, and settles stress. Whether you're nervous about a project or presentation, anxious about a conversation, or just generally stressed out, Nadi Shodhana is a quick and calming way to bring you back to your center. If you find it difficult to settle into your meditations, like Yvonne mentioned, try moving through a few rounds first, then remain seated and shift directly into stillness. It should help you help to ground you before meditation. So without further ado then, I just want to show you how this practice works. And we've also built the foundation for it. So there's intentionality behind today. Remember, I taught you how to sit. Right? We think we don't need to learn. We think we learned that at age 2, but we really didn't. So We can do this seated on the floor on some supports. Today I'm doing it just seated on the same chair that I was on earlier today. So I'm going to suggest that you do the same, be seated on a chair, and I'm going to go get my block to sit on because my knees are a bit higher than the groins, and then that doesn't allow for as much spaciousness, as much openness. So take the time to set yourself up properly so the thighs are parallel to the floor with either support beneath the buttocks or support beneath the feet. So be particular, like we've been learning today, how much that makes a difference in our practice, in our yoga practice, and then our businesses and our lives. And finding a comfortable seated position. And that same thing that we learned earlier, press yourself up and off the chair and then come down straight onto the sit bones equally. Take the flesh of the buttocks slightly back into the side. So again, if you can't tell the difference, try it a couple of times, just release it. Feel the sinking in the stomach. And then come up onto the tips of the sit bones. Take the flesh of the buttocks out into the side, like back into the side. And just notice if you've got that stronger lift through the core of the body. Remember those itsy bitsy spider hands? Press into the fingers, thumbs point back, fingers and thumbs to lift and open the heart center. So shoulders roll back and down. And in pranayama yoga breath work, the chest needs to open any amount. But I don't mean by thrusting the chest forward and hardening the abdomen. Can you feel that? Usually when we try harder, that's what we do. Thrust out the ribs, thrust out the abdomen gets hard. So again, press into the fingertips, lift and open the heart center, but rest draw the navel back, ribs back, and find that vertical lift through the sternum. Elbows draw back, press into the fingertips and lift, but keep the face soft. So can you separate out those different parts of the body? Lifting through the chest, face soft. Then just keep the chest open, place the hands gently on the legs, palms up, palms down, doesn't matter. We're just gonna get the configuration of the body first. We're gonna try it a couple times, right? So keeping the shoulders relaxed, chest lifted and open, navel drawing back, all those pieces we learned earlier today. And then you're just gonna imagine you have like a small piece of fruit, right? Not a plum, but not as big as an apple, somewhere in between. And you're just gonna let the chin come down and almost like you're gently holding that piece of fruit between the thumb and between the chin and the throat, right? So there's a bit of spaciousness there, but you're allowing the head to release down. If you're wearing glasses, you're gonna remove them. Just close the eyes. And I just want you to take a few breaths here. Can you feel that same groundedness through the feet, groundedness through the sit bones, the rebound action? Remember, like lifting up that 3-year-old from the ribs, how much length and height you get through the ribs in doing so. Chest lifted and open, head released down, back of the neck is soft, face is soft, throat is soft. And just sit there and take a couple of breaths holding this position. You find the breath ragged or hard to breathe, then it means you're trying too hard. Back off, sit normally, take a couple of breaths. Just see if you can breathe in this space, holding the chest open. Feeling ease in the moment, quietness in the face, soft breath. Watch the breath. What's its quality? Just notice. And then keeping that same grounding through the feet. Rebound action as the buttocks and feet are earthward. The torso and chest lift. Keeping those same actions, shoulders down, navel draws back. Slowly inhale and lift the head. Softly open the eyes. And just sit however you will. This is just the basic posture. And I want to tell you that as an Iyengar teacher, don't tell my teachers that I'm teaching you this, because this is many steps ahead. But I got taught it really early by a non-Iyengar teacher and loved it and found it very accessible. In Iyengar yoga, I should be teaching you lying down first. According to the Yoga Sutras, we should have perfected the yoga postures. Whatever, this practice makes a big difference. So let's see what it, how that feels so far to you. What did you notice? Was there any tension creeping up? Was it easy to breathe? Could you hold the chest open? Just a couple words from you so I know how it's going. Who would like to share? Lindsay, thank you.
I actually felt more peace in that pose or in that moment than I sometimes do in Shavasana.
Great notice. Great notice. And one of the things that we've done is we've had an entire day to build the philosophy behind it. It's built on a really deep Shavasana at the beginning of our day. It's built on the asana practice as well, and all the minute places of where our body needs to be positioned to create that openness of the heart center. So we have all that behind. And so fantastic, you found that here. This is great. And then the next moment might be different next time around, but really good observation, and I'm so glad you found that. Let's hear from at least one more of you. What did you find so far? We'll take it to the next step after, like right after this. Yeah, Yvonne.
My muscles and body feels, upper body feels more tired.
Yes, good notice as well. Your comments are telling me that you were practicing well, right? Because in that seated posture, the shoulder blades really need to work. They're what one of my teachers calls the dashboard of the back. They really move into the back, and then there's all these other minute actions that I've been telling you about. There's a lot of a container to hold in that. So if the muscles start fatiguing a little, that's why I want to give you a rest from that posture as well, like sit however you want for a moment. It takes work to be in that posture. And then when we find that alignment, the breath can come easily. But it's why the yogis, the Iyengar yogis say lying down first, because there's a lot to learn in how to sit. But I think you guys can do this. I did it without a lot of training when I first began many years ago. It benefited me hugely. I want to share it with you. Really good. Okay, anything else wanting to be said? Okay, so for the next stage, we're going to have that same seated posture. You don't need to go there yet. I just want to teach you the hands, right? The way I practice it's a little different than the article, but same idea. I'm going to share with you the way I do it. If you do it the way they say, they're putting their middle finger maybe somewhere different than, you know, that's all good. Either way is good, right? But the way we practice, it's like we create pincers with a hand, all right? So if you have your hand like so, right hand, then bend these two fingers down. So the index finger and the middle finger. And then these two fingers are going to form like one pad, and the thumb is going to form another. So what I do is I keep these out of the way, curl them down, and then I take these two fingers and I align them. Can you see they're uneven? But as I curl them, I'm going to line them up so they become like another thumb. And then my thumb and my two fingers over here are going to be what's going to do the alternate nostril breathing. Closing one nostril and then the other. I'm just going to show you what it looks like. It's more complex to explain it than it is to do it. And there are infinite subtle adjustments that one can make. But I did this without very much training and it made a world of difference, right? So let me just show you. I'm seated. I allow my head to drop down. My fingers are going to go just not on the fleshy part, but not on the bony part. It's kind of like all like at the edge of the bony part. You can just watch for a second on the two sides of my nostrils. I'm going to just breathe normally here, just having my hand here, just getting used to that for a minute. So same as we were getting used to the posture, then getting used to the hand being there and breathing for a little bit. And then we're going to begin by closing with the two fingers. Close that side of the nostril and just breathe out through the right nostril. Then I'll breathe in through the right nostril and I'll switch. I'll close with the thumb. I'll breathe out And I'll breathe in. So it all starts with a breathing out in the way that I have been taught to practice. Again, I'll switch, breathe out, breathe in, all right? So I'm gonna do a couple rounds so you can see it, and then we're gonna do it, and then we're gonna try it together. So I sit, chest lifted and open, all the things we learned earlier today. I release into what's called Jalandhara Bandha. I place my hands. I find ease with the breath. If there's any tension, I'm just gonna breathe. I'm not gonna do the alternate nostril breathing. It's gotta be like Shavasana, quiet. I'm just going to do, it's not going to look like much, but I want you to see what it looks like just for a minute. And I can just release my hand. And I watch this breath. In me, it caught a little. I'm trying to teach and do at the same time. It means I'm trying too hard. Less would be better. There's a little bit of a catch. Like I needed extra air right at the very beginning of that. Less is more. I would back off in my practice because I'm trying to teach and do at the same time, right? But it wasn't too bad. So let's try this together. And what you can do maybe exhale, inhale, do a couple normal breaths. Anytime there's any tension arising in your shoulders, your throat, your back, like if there's tension anywhere, your head, always go back to normal breathing. The more you train yourself to do that practice, discipline oneself, tapas, burning zeal to do it correctly, the more you let go and go back to normal breathing and not be attached to the outcome, the more your practice will progress quickly and easily. So less is more in pranayama. So again, let's set up our seated position, lift up, come down on the points of the sit bones, right? Take the flesh of the buttocks back into the side so that you're on those points of the sit bones evenly. I need to adjust a little more to make it even. The feet feel like there's roots growing beneath them. The buttocks descends, like so feel the groundedness of the buttocks and the feet. And then out of that, ascend both sides of the torso without hardening in the abdomen. Navel draws back, low ribs draw back, and the torso, the chest lifts. Like you got a string lifting you to the ceiling here. Shoulders back and down. You can press into the hands if you want, into the fingertips to lift that chest any amount. We really need the chest open for pranayama. Then placing the hands on the thighs. Again, shoulders release, neck soft. Close your eyes. And Jalandhara Bandha. So just holding that piece of fruit gently at your throat. And take a couple breaths here. If there's any tension, you're not going to take it further. You're just going to breathe here and be content, santosha, with where you are. Then finding those pincers, remember, bend the index finger. If you need to peek, you can see index finger and middle finger, and then the ring finger and the little finger become one thumb, and then the opposing thumb, I guess we could say, and then place it on the somewhere right at the base of the bony part of the nose, just above that fleshy part, just at the base of the bony part. And then just breathe with your hand here, and see if there's any tension. If there's any tension, you're not going to take it further. Jalandhara Bandha stays in place, so the head is down. And you're just breathing here, just with the fingers, two fingers and thumb gently resting against the sides of the nose. And then when you're ready, so we can begin together. Your breath rhythm won't match my teaching, so we'll start together and then you're gonna go to your own breath rhythm. And I'll just tell you first and then we're gonna do it together. It's gonna start by closing with the two fingers and exhaling through the right nostril and then inhaling through that right nostril, then switch. We're gonna start together. Inhale, close off with the fingers, exhale through the right nostril, then inhale. Inhaling right nostril. and switch so the thumb is pressing in, exhaling through the left nostril, inhaling through the right nostril, in through the left nostril. And then exhale, inhale, right nostril. Do a couple rounds. Letting go of tension in the face. And when you've exhaled through the right nostril, come back, bring your hand back to the legs. Keep the chest open and just observe the effects of that short practice. And then inhale, slowly raise the head, open the eyes. Because I was talking through it, it might have been very restful. It might have been built tension, doesn't matter what happened, just so you understand the technique of it to begin. With this next round, I'm going to let you practice in your own time. And don't worry about perfection. Don't worry if you're getting it right. Don't worry about anything about it. You're just, all you're doing is using the hand to breathe out and then in on one side, out and then in, and try to make the breaths even, whether they're short or long. You can begin in your own time. Again, remember Jalandhara Bandha, and then just enjoy the breath. Chin is down, face is soft, chin is down, chin is down. Using those pincers equally on the two sides of the nose. Equal inhalation and exhalation. As soon as there's tension, you just let it go and breathe until the tension releases, and then you can begin again. With the thumb, you're using the point of the thumb, not the side of the thumb. Feel the ease of the breath. Going back to normal breathing as soon as you notice tension. It's quite normal. Satya, truthfulness in your practice. And once the breath returns to normal, you can resume. Do another minute or so in your own time. Head down, face soft, shoulders soft. Chest lifted. Ease. And then once you've completed the next round, it ends with that exhalation through the right nostril. Return to normal breathing through the nostrils. Just notice the effect on the breath. And slowly raise the head and open the eyes. Very short introduction. We could spend all day, but why not give you access to these tools? As many of them as we can do without rushing, so you can start to play with them. Let's hear from one or two of you. What did you experience with this first time together that we've been doing Nadi Shodhana? All answers welcome. Whatever you experienced is what you experienced. Who would like to share? Yeah, Lindsay.
Everyone, let me unmute for a minute. I had no issues, no problems on the right side.
Yeah.
But on the left side, every time it was like forceful to try to breathe out. And then when I would try to breathe in, every time I had to let go and just go back to regular breathing, because it would like catch, like I almost couldn't breathe in on the left side.
Isn't that interesting? And remember that minute attention to the details that we were talking about? It's like, wow, I breathe better on the one side than the other. It might be a momentary thing. It might be something else. Sometimes like when we started becoming more aware of our body, like we actually have a dominant nostril and it switches. Some of my teachers know more of the details than I do. They've been studying for, you know, 30 and 40 years to my 20, right? And so, but the dominant nostril switches, I can't remember if it's hourly or every couple of hours, something like that. And so it might be that one side is more blocked than the other. We start becoming aware of what's going on. When people say, well, just breathe, there's a lot going on, right? And so if you find, let's say the left nostril is blocked, if you lie on your right side, that left nostril will unblock after a few minutes. So just good to observe. And that also, if I'm always breathing just through one side, there's not balance happening. So can I find a balance in the practice? And as you practice it longer, you might find it shifting. Maybe, you know, you might lie down for a little while, see what happens when you try it again. Experimenting and getting to know our own body better so we can play more deeply and see what's actually going on. Yeah, really good notice. Thanks, Lindsay. Love it. What else did you notice?
I found moving the fingers that way very different. They never ended up where they were supposed to be. I keep replacing them.
Thank you for that. And like being playful with it, you know, I was at a retreat in Mexico for teachers and, you know, really experienced yoga practitioners. Everybody there had done, you know, 10 and 20 and 30 years of yoga. And we were practicing and like, there's a whole new level of what, you know, how do I do that? So it's your very first effort at this, probably maybe second, you know, to be gentle with yourself and playful with it. And it is a skill like any other, and be kind of like going to the gym going like, wow, I did that one bicep curl and it's way too hard. I'm not going to do it again. Right? Or it didn't produce results. It takes some effort to learn how to do that. But I also found as when I was beginning, it was many years ago now, but that, you know, the refined levels, they take more and more time, but that I was able to get it after not too many tries, like better and better. So, you know, hang in there with it.
Okay.
I love it. Other observations? Yeah, Mary Kay.
Yeah, I can see how that's a step towards resting in every moment.
Yes. Said I'd go to the breath, and here's a more detailed answer. Absolutely. Yvonne, Angela, I know you might not be able to, in a place where you can speak. Yvonne, anything that you want to add?
For me, it actually was easier than I thought it was.
Uh-huh.
So that was actually interesting. Because I have done, you know, pranayama breathing with you in, yeah, you know, at different retreats. And I know from those times that a lot of times my breath was really, you know, not like fluid. It was more, you know, like.
Yeah, jagged.
Yeah, jagged. And then so this time I didn't find that. So I don't know what's changed, but, you know, maybe the fact that I've been practicing more.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You've been
practicing. May have something to do with
October, right? Now, sometimes there's momentary fluctuations, but
yeah,
practices build. And I remember that's what changed my practice in 2006. It's Shavasana I start my day with, but I start my every day with pranayama. Now, there's Shavasana that is a necessary component of pranayama, and it's pranayama that I start out every day with. And Shavasana's in there too, of course. And, but my pranayama also in 2006 was really jagged, and I felt bad because I'm like, I was with a new teacher. I'm like, but my teacher's taught me well. I don't know what's wrong. Oh, right. I'm actually not practicing. What would happen if I actually practice consistently? What if I start my day with just a couple minutes of breath work? What might change? And we've seen in the community the deep effects of Shavasana, and pranayama is like the exponential next level. So what I want to do, so thank you for that. I love that. We only have a few minutes left. I want you to get a chance to try this one more time, just in your own time. Don't be worried about getting it perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect. Let's take two more minutes, let you practice in your own time to just reap the benefits of it, whatever it is today, finding balance in the brain, a little bit more ease of breath. You go ahead in your own time with whatever you remember. I'm not going to coach you through this. Go ahead and take this time for yourself. 2 more minutes. Keeping the chin down, chest open. Any tension arising, truthfulness in your practice, just go back to normal breathing, noticing. And then once you finish that next round, releasing the hand down, noticing the breath, what's its quality now? Slowly lifting the head, opening the eyes. Good. Really good. We always end with Shavasana, ideally before and after pranayama. We'll take just 2 minutes in Shavasana. This is where practice helps. The more we've practiced, the more we can drop into Shavasana. Find your Shavasana now. This will be a silent Shavasana. It's just 2 minutes long. Can you only make efficient actions, only take efficient actions? Just only those actions needed to lie down, release, let go, watch the breath. Feel the ease of this moment, ease of breath. Know that with this breath, all is well. Then with a parigraha, no holding on or grasping, deep santosha, contentment, joy with exactly what is. step by step, as you know how to do, come out of Shavasana and return to our virtual circle one last time to close our day. Thank you so much for being here today. You guys have been extraordinary. You made my day watching the depth of practice, the depth of questions and comments and investigation. This has been unprecedented. And I'm just truly grateful the depth of your practice today. We always end the practice by saying namaste. We'll officially close our day. I will stay for a few extra minutes if there's any questions. I'm not saying you need to stay for questions. Everybody goes, we'll go in case there's something you want to ask me. Otherwise, enjoy whatever quiet has arisen from the practice today, from the practice of Nadi Shodhana now, from the knowing that you've taken huge steps forward for your company and your life in being here today. Thank you so much. I know there's many things that call to you. Thank you so much for being here today. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend, and I will see you soon. Namaste. Thank you all. Goodbye, everybody. Have a beautiful day. I'll be the last one here because I'll wait till everybody's gone. Bye-bye. No questions, Marla? Good to go? And Angela, I don't think can speak here. So any questions? No? Good to go? Okay. Bless you. Bye-bye. We'll see you soon. Thanks for being here.